I saw this on a Twitter account that I check in with fairly regularly because it contains a lot of compassionate and kind thoughts. And it was on the Twitter account of Rob Vemba. And I went, Rob Vemba, because Rob was somebody who used to work in this building, and he was somebody for whom I had a great deal of respect and affection. And he wrote, "My dad is dead. I will not get to see his body. I don't know that I'll make it home in time for his funeral. I don't know that I'll be there in time to comfort my mother and brother. Wear a mask, stay home, or distance yourself responsibly. This is not a game. We get to reset." Rob is on the road at the moment, and he's very kindly agreed to spend a few minutes as he tries to get home for the funeral tonight talking to us. Hello, Rob.
Hi, John. Good to talk to you.
I was really sorry that we have to talk about something so sad. What happened with your dad?
It's a long story. I'll try and kind of give you the abridged version, and there are quite a few holes in it. But he, at the start of lockdown, stage five, level five, he had a pinched nerve that was diagnosed. But he was what would be deemed, you know, the perfect victim for COVID. He was 71 years old. He comorbidities, diabetic, hypertensive. He was overweight. So doctors try to keep him away from hospital as much as possible, but his pain just became unbearable. And a few weeks after the initial nerve in the neck, he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis. And of course, that means, you know, narrowing of the spine, placing pressure on all of those nerves. And he was just in an extraordinary amount of pain and ultimately could no longer, but otherwise he needed to have this operation done. He was admitted to hospital two Sundays ago, but because he was on blood thinners, he needed to wait out a week before they could operate. He had a COVID test when he was admitted, which would be standard protocol. As much as he was in pain as a result of his spine for that week, he was otherwise stable. Over the course of last weekend, he developed, or the previous weekend, he developed symptoms, shortness of breath, fatigue, you know, all the coughs, all the alarm bells start going off because you're thinking, my God, you know, this sounds exactly like COVID, but then again, so does many other things. The doctor's initial response was, it's bronchitis. And as far as I was aware, and I say all of this, you know, broken telephone between my mom, who was in South Africa, I was repatriated on Monday, so getting information as I was from the U.S., they evidently, we've subsequently found out, they did do a second COVID test last Tuesday. And that came back, those results came back last Thursday, showing that it was negative. Throughout last week, he was up and down. They were worried about his breathing. They were worried about his heart. But ECG was clear. And all the way throughout all of this, he was in a general ward. He was not in ICU at any stage. Eventually, on Thursday, moved him into high care. And Friday, my mom had spoken to the nursing sister at 6 p.m. because he was in so much pain and he was really zoned out on all of these pain meds. We haven't really been able to communicate with him for the last week or so. So talking through the nursing staff, and at 6 p.m., my mom spoke to them last Friday evening. We were told everything was fine. He was doing okay. He was stable. At 6:15, he supposedly had a heart attack, and by 7, he was pronounced dead. Now, we then, you know, my mom and my brother went to hospital to go and, you know, see the body and wait for the undertakers and do all the necessary. And again, throughout all of this, he was in a non-COVID ward, treated as a non-COVID patient. On Saturday, we received a call from the doctor saying that his post-mortem blood work showed COVID positive. So we're really unclear at this point, John, as to, you know, I'm very hesitant to get into any kind of conspiracy theories, but, you know, we're in two minds as to, did someone mess up and COVID is now a convenient excuse? But then again, when we checked my dad's phone records over the weekend, he got an automated SMS from Pathcare and it said COVID positive. But you know, there are all other kinds of dots that we're struggling to connect, where the doctor claimed the doctor and the nursing staff needed to go into isolation. Yet on Sunday, when we had called because we had forgotten the book of my dad at the hospital, we got through to the same nurse who treated my dad. She clearly was not in isolation. You know, there are all kinds of other stories from the undertaker who we've been dealing with, where he's noted two other patients that he's been storing, that's sort of patience, the wrong word, but you know, I struggle with all this terminology now, bodies that he's keeping. He knows one died in a motor vehicle accident, the other had an epileptic fit, yet both of their death certificates say COVID-19. So it's all a bit unclear at this point. As far as we can tell, based on the blood work, he was COVID positive. Nothing else makes sense. Subsequently, having spoken to my dad's cardiologist and physicians and doctors that he's had over the years, because of COVID as well, he couldn't, for some reason, see the physician that he ordinarily saw and treated him. They all can't understand. This doesn't make sense to them. Also, the fact that bloods were sent away post-mortem, we weren't asked as a family. I don't know if that's standard protocol. Why did they feel the need to do that? If blood work came back on his day saying he was negative, it's all a bit confusing, John, but ultimately, you know, since Friday, so he died last Friday, I've personally gone through and been infuriating listening to your show since 3 o'clock as I'm trying to drive home and get home in time for his funeral this evening, listening to these callers or you know, the one individual SMS talking about masks or people wanting to know if they can go from point A to point B. I have now gone from being an observer on the sidelines and encouraging people to do the right thing to being completely thrust in the thick of it, going through repatriation, dealing with South African embassies, dealing with the South African police service until 8 p.m. last night, dealing with a complete and total lack of empathy, generally speaking. But that aside, I think this has revealed so much and exposed so much about who governments are, and not just the South African government, but governments around the world in terms of what they're capable of. But more importantly, it's revealed so much about us as people and as individuals, what we value and who we care about. I did not need my father to die to know how serious this was or to do things as I saw appropriate, not just for my own sake, because I wouldn't know whether or not I'm a carrier, but for the next person. I didn't need for him to die to understand all of this. So the fact that people are still questioning how serious this is, people are still having questions about should I wear a mask? What harm could it possibly do? Why are we weaponizing common sense? I don't know, John. I mean, I've said so much, but at the same time, I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
At this point.
Rob, I mean, it's not easy to lose a parent under any circumstances. My mother died after a longish illness pre-COVID. Thank goodness she died before COVID, because at least we were able to be with her in her last days and hours. And I'm still, 5 months later, really struggling to deal with her death. And I can imagine for you and your family, with all of this confusion around your father's death and all of these issues around it, it must be so difficult to deal with the fact that your father is no longer a member of your family, is no longer your father.
And incredibly so, John, because at no stage did we consider, you know, throughout that week, because as I said, he was in a general ward until the Thursday. Did the message, certainly as it reached me, and I don't know, for all I know, my mom may have been trying to protect me, but I would like to believe that she was honest all the way through, that this was a life or death situation. Be that as it may, we now end up in this situation where you're having to deal with all kinds of levers of state, where we're having, as a family, to decide, are we going to sit and gather a guest list of 50 people? And who do we exclude? And ultimately, we've just decided the best thing to do is to just keep it to, there'll be 15 of us between my mom, my brother, his family, and my dad has one surviving brother and his wife and two stepsisters, sisters-in-law, rather. And that's what we're keeping it to. And we're a humongous family. He was a prominent member in the church. And that's the sad thing, is not being able to give him the farewell that he deserved, that he would have loved and relished. Not being able for myself to see the body, because of all the confusion, the undertakers ultimately had to change protocol and go to a COVID protocol scenario where he's now basically been embalmed and wrapped in all kinds of plastic and glued together and kept separately in a freezer. And so it's sure. You know, the logistics that's so cumbersome when it comes to funerals anyway, they just they're so mentally draining right now because you don't get to say goodbye as best you could. I'm rushing to try and get to the service, which they've postponed and held up just for me. And you know, doing this, probably going to get there in my sweats, but so be it. As a result, again, of having arrived via repatriation, and I was fully aware that I may end up missing it altogether, may end up, and hence my tweet yesterday, because at that point I'd resigned myself and come to peace with the fact that I was not going to make it, because I was told by the DC embassy, there is a possibility, provide the death certificate and you may get, you know, exemption and release from
the quarantine proposal, yeah.
Where I was for the night yesterday. And that message never reached quarantine. In fact, as I stopped off somewhere between Johannesburg and Cape Town as I'm driving today, checked my mail out of compulsive habit, there was the DC embassy following up to two of my follow-up emails saying, where's the death certificate? I sent the death certificate on Tuesday. So it's just, you know,
it's a horrible tale, Rob. I hope that you make it. Does it seem likely that you will, given where you are now? And
no, I am done. I am, in fact, and this may be of interest to just, I've noted the roads have been relatively okay, other than actually a fair amount of trucks on the road, which I mean, I don't know if that's any indication of, you know, things picking back up. But there are tons of trucks on the N1 between Johannesburg and Cape Town. But I'm soon, in the next couple of kilometers, we'll hit the tunnel, so I'll lose you anyway. But
okay, then you're going to make it.
I'm going to make it. I'll be there. And so I'm thankful for that, of course, and just to be able to be with my family. But just to everyone listening, as much as personally, you know, this is about my dad, and I mean, he's a Cape Townian through and through, born and bred in District 6, was kicked out of the Group Areas Act, you know, he's been there, done that, lived that life. He's one of us, you know, this can happen to anyone, and he went assuming, you know, these test results are correct. This is something he picked up in a hospital. It's not like he took it into the hospital. So you just don't know who's carrying it, where it's coming from, and for people to be so, I mean, if there's one thing, just finally, you kind of spat at libertarians that I've learned from my last 18 months on and off in the U.S. is exactly that point, how people value their own personal liberty above their neighbors, above people next to them, about even their loved ones. And I find that just a really hard, hard world to live in.
Rob Vemba, it's a cautionary tale indeed, and thank you very, very much. Rob was talking through hands-free, so he was still driving to get to the funeral at 6 p.m. I don't know. Who knows what convinces people to change behavior, but I hope that some of the people who are going yay to the non-mask wearers and the defenders of libertarian rights to not wear masks, I don't know whether listening to Rob would have changed your mind. I hope so, but I'm not hugely confident.